All right, so we begin with learning Masechta Beitza, or Beya. Actually, the Maharshal mentions that in his times, the people used to call it Beya rather than Beitza. One reason that's given is because of the other meaning of the word Beitza. But there's actually the Tiferes Yisrael gives a different interesting explanation based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin where there were people who made a mistake between the word Beitza, meaning eggs, and Beitza, meaning swamps. But because of that potential confusion, which actually the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes there, that it had implications for halacha, therefore they took to call in the Masechta Beya with an ayin. Instead of Beitza with a tzadik. But Beya with an ayin is just the Aramaic word for an egg. That's actually, you know, appropriate to Pesach, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. One reason why we have to use an egg on the Seder plate to represent the Chagiga is because besides it representing the carbon Chagiga, it also represents Beya in Aramaic is also resembles the word Ba'a in Aramaic, which means to want to, so it represents that Hashem wanted to take us out of Mitzrayim.
It
ever brings it in Agada, I don't remember what the source of it is. I think it's the Rishalmi, actually, I don't remember. Anyway. This is also, it might be said, I believe this is the only Masechta that's actually generally called after its first word rather than its topic. The topic of it is the Dinim of Yom Tov, and in fact the Rishonim used to call it Masechta Yom Tov. Why they stopped doing that, why instead they call it Beitza. I did see an interesting thing from the Pirush Shoshanim Ladavid on Mishnayos, who says, because Yom Tov is a very happy time, but after all, you need to be reminded sometimes, you know, not to go overboard. A beitza, an egg, represents avelus. We know it's one of the foods they feed avelim. So therefore, it's meant as a reminder, you know, don't go overboard. You know, the simcha shel mitzvah, but you know, don't let it descend into hoilulus. I guess so.
From Yom Tov.
Okay, but there's simcha, and then there's simcha. You know, I mean.
Okay, I'll
The Mishnah says, Beitza shenol the Yom Tov, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, Beshamay Amim Te'ochel, Beshamay says you're allowed to eat it on that day itself, or Beshamay Amim Lo Te'ochel, Beshamay says you're not allowed to eat it, for reasons which we'll start discussing in the Gemara, which is going to, that discussion is going to extend over the first couple of laps. Besides the Machloikas itself having to do with Yom Tov, this is one of the unusual Machloikas in where Beshamay is Mekel and Beshamay is Machmir. So for that reason, the Mishnah also brings in the next two, which also are cases where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Bisol is Machmer, which also both have to do with Dinim of various Yom Tovim, not necessarily Yom Tovim in general. The next one is going to be about Chometz, but still about you know, related to one or another Yom Tov. Yeah, remember that the Mishnayot were originally done by heart. Yes, yeah, so in Masechta Edius, they list all of the Machlokes in where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Bisol is Machmer. And they do list these three, but here our Mishnah is just going to mention these three because they're all in that category. They're all ones where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Shammai is Machmer, and they all have to do with one or another Yom Tov. Reminds me, by the way, they say, you know, there's a Masechta for most of the Yom Tovim. There's a Masechta Pesachim for Pesach. There's a Masechta Sukkah for Sukkot, which we just did. There's Yuma for Yom Kippur. There's Rosh Hashanah for Rosh Hashanah. There's no Masechta really for Shavuos, which, I mean, the reason is because Shavuos doesn't really have a lot of dinim. In the times of the, you know, now, I mean, the things that we do nowadays on Shavuos, you know, that we eat milchiks, that in most kehillos they say achdamos, those are minhagim. Those are from later in the times of the Gemara, or in any way, they're minhagim. They're not, you know, it's not to talk about them lahalacha. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, they had the Shtei Alechem that they brought on Shavuot along with the accompanying Karbonos, but those are discussed in Menachos along with the other because it's basically a type of Karbon Mincha. So therefore, some Mepharshim say that therefore Beitza is basically the Masechta for Shavuot. And in fact, there are people who have the Minog to learn it on Shavuot for that reason.
Really?
The contents are generically for all the Yom Tovim, but you know, in that sense, it's like, you know, this is the one Masechta for Shavuot. Because there's no other. Continues the Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim Sa'ur B'Kazayis V'Chometz B'Kakei Seves. Beis Shammai says when it comes to having Sa'ur in your house, which is sourdough, the shear you'd be chayav for would be a kezayis. But chametz, meaning not sourdough, but an actual piece of bread, for example, which you can, sourdough you can use to make something else chametz. You can put a piece of it as a starter into a new batch of dough. So it's capable of making something else chametz. So therefore, the shear is a smaller amount, because kezayis. But chametz, which is not so much, there you need takisevet. There you need the size of a date, which is larger than a kezayis. Well, Basil Emem Zevazev, kezayis, Basil says both of them, the shear is a kezayis. So again, a case where they're more machmer. What it means, what exactly we're talking about that you'd be chayev for, there's different discussions among Rishonim and Achronim, because, I mean, are we talking about eating it? So, you're not allowed to eat less than a kezayis or less than a kakasevis either. Are we talking about having it in your house? Not necessarily. I mean, not everybody agrees that you'd get malchus, for example, for the isra of bal yodol, bal yomotza, having chametz around your house, because not necessarily is it something that you'd do an action to do. In fact, the Rambam paskins that you don't. The only way that Rambam says that you would get malchus for bal yodol, bal yomotza, you normally wouldn't. It's just a passive thing. You're leaving it in your house. The only way you would get malchus for it is if you actually, bought some chametz during Pesach and had it in your house. So that's one possibility then of the type of thing that we're talking about with Bishama and Bisilla arguing with the minimum amount that you need to be chayav malchus. Third din, hashochet chayav oif be yomtiv. If somebody shechts a wild animal or a bird on yomtiv, now those two things you have to afterwards do kisi adam. You have to cover the blood. So it says in Parshas Achrimos. You are allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, by the way, for the reason we'll discuss as we go throughout the Masechta. You're allowed to do Melechas Eichel Nefesh. So it's like this. You're allowed to do Melechas Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. Which Melechas of Eichel Nefesh? That there's a lot of discussion about does the Torah itself limit you to only some of them, or is it that the Chachamim limited you to some of them, basically the ones that could have been done before Yom Tov? Either way, the end halacha still amounts to the same thing. There are certain malachas that have to do with preparing food that you're technically not allowed to do on Yom Tov. You can't say, for example, I'm going to go harvest grain on Yom Tov because I'm going to go turn it into bread. That you can't do, but you can go bake the bread on Yom Tov. So by the same token, one idea of it is the Chachamim barred you from doing certain malachas on Yom Tov where you could have done them before Yom Tov and it would be just as good. We'll talk about later in the Masechta, for example, one example of that is grinding salt. You can grind salt before Yom Tov and it won't lose its taste, whereas pepper would. Why?
Grinding.
Okay, because you won't buy rock salt, okay, fair enough. That's the principle of it. So by the same token, then you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov because if you shechted it before Yom Tov, the meat might spoil. And it's interesting though. The Alter Rebbe talks about in Shulchan Aruch, even though technically this is true, nevertheless nowadays people are noyig. You never hear people shechting on Yom Tov nowadays, and the reason for that is because we're worried about the likelihood that the animal is going to turn out to be treifa, and if it is, then you shechted, you did a malacha for no purpose. So therefore, in general, we don't shecht on Yom Tov. I guess it in some times and places in particular, it's more of a possibility, yeah.
That would have started in his day.
Not necessarily in Alter Rebbe's days, no, because he's not mentioning this as a chiddush of his own. He's quoting from earlier Rishonim or Achronim.
Huh.
Yeah. When it started, I don't know. Anyway. So, Ashechet Chayev Oif B'Yamtiv, B'Shamay Emim Yachba B'Deka V'Yechaseh, B'Shamay says you can dig with a spade into the dirt and cover the blood. Once you shechted already, which you were allowed to do on Yamtiv, then you're allowed to use that dirt that's there to cover it. Or B'Silla Emim Lo Yishchot, B'Silla says, oh no, don't shecht in the first place, Elim Kain Ha'yolai Ofer Mukhan Meba'od Yoim, unless you had dirt prepared, set aside for this purpose, before Yamtiv. Well, so the issue of digging itself is a different issue that we'll discuss. That the Gemara will discuss later on Daf Zayin, Daf Ches. But the assumption at the moment is that we're talking about that the issue is not digging in the dirt. The issue is the dirt's already loose, so you don't have the issue of choifer. Rather, you have the issue is the dirt muhta. Because you didn't have according to the Mishnah, you didn't have in mind before Yom Tov specifically to use it. And that would be the reason why Bessel was saying, Chatzchila, don't shecht, unless you know that you already have dirt prepared.
Because you don't have enough for Yom Tov.
What do you mean you can't? If you had dirt prepared enough to cover blood, then you're allowed to shechter.
You don't have what to eat for Yom Tov, and you did.
Okay, we're not talking about you don't have what to eat. Come on, you know, I mean, we're not talking about a person. We're talking about a normal situation. Yeah. Umaydim she'im shachat. However, Beis Hillel does agree that if, after all, you did shech the animal or the bird, you didn't realize. Well, then you have no choice. You do have to do kisei adam, the Torah says. So therefore, you dig with a spade and you cover. Provided, Rashi says, that we'll talk about in the Gemara in a few days, provided that the spade was already stuck into the ground before Yom Tov, and a couple of other conditions that the Gemara will talk about there. She'efer kira mukhan hu, that because the ashes from a fireplace, not a fireplace, a kira is a stove, are considered prepared. Meaning, if you have ashes available, you can use those for kisei adam as well. The din is you're allowed to use anything for kisei adam, which is powdery and which plants could grow. So ashes fit those criteria, so you can use them. What that last line has to do with things, by the way, the Gemara will talk about, that it's not really she'efer, it's rather ve'efer. It's a separate statement that you should also know. Everybody agrees that the ashes from a kira are considered mukhan, and you're allowed to use them. So, about the case of the bait, so the Gemara asks, for Maya Skinnan, what is the case, what kind of hen are we talking about that laid this egg? Ilema v'tanagolos ha'emedes la'achila, if the hen is already set aside, you're raising it la'achila in order to eat, you know, sometimes, I mean, farmers, right, so chicken farmers will have, you know, some of their hens they raise in order to lay eggs, and others they raise in order to fatten them up and shech them. So what is this hen over here? If it's meant to be eaten, my time out of Basila, then what's Basila's problem with eating the egg? Oichol de Ephras, so it's like food that was separated. Ephras is like nifrosh in Hebrew, tough a lot of times in Aramaic, is like a shin in Lashon Kodesh. Rashi says that it means shinifrad. The point is, I mean, it would be the same thing as like, you know, taking an apple and cutting it up or something. It's one food that's separated from another. You have the chicken itself is considered food because you could check it on Yom Tov and eat it. The egg is also food, so what's the problem? Which, right now, that's the Gemara's assumption that that's not a problem. Later on, tomorrow, we'll revisit that.
What problem could it be if it was?
That's the question. Why, if it's a chicken that's meant to be eaten, then everything of the chicken is meant to be eaten, including the eggs that are growing inside it. If the other way around, that you meant for this chicken to be used for growing eggs, for laying eggs, my time out of Bishamai. Well, then on the contrary, what's the reason why Bishamai says it's mukta? Muktahi. It's after all, it's mukta. Mukta, now we're going to talk about mukta a lot in the Masechta. So we know there's a number of categories of mukta, mukta machas tzoren kis, mukta machas gufoi, etc. A lot of times when the Gemara uses the word mukta in the generic sense, it means something, basically the word mukta in the generic sense means something that you put out of your mind before Shabbos or before Yom Tov, you don't plan to use it. For example, you know, something machmas chasaron kis, an expensive thing, you know, an expensive, a shchita knife, for example, is a classic case, mukta machmas chasaron kis. You put it out of your mind before Shabbos, you don't intend to use it for anything on Shabbos, you can't shecht, and you're not going to use it to cut anything else.
Actively put it out?
No, so that's certain things, like mukta machmas chasaron kis, you don't have to actively put them out of your mind. We assume there's different kinds of things. But then one kind of mukta is something like this, for example. You had no intention of eating this chicken on Yom Tov because you're intending to use it to lay eggs. So that's the kind of mukta that we're talking about. So then in that case, there's no question, the chicken itself is mukta. Why would Beis Shammai say that the egg is mukta? Question is, the Gemara says, "My koshia." So what's the problem? Duma b'shami less the whole mukta. So maybe b'shami does not hold of this type of mukta. And the Gemara points out, "Kasalka daitin." Right now, at this point in the discussion, the Gemara assumes, "Afilu manda shorig b'mukta b'mnoilad aser." That even whoever says that mukta, which we're going to say in a minute, that's Reb Shimon, says that mukta, the generic category of mukta, is mutter, he would agree. We're assuming by noilad. So then, my time out of Beis Shammai. So then, even if we were to say that Beis Shammai does not hold of mukta, so the chicken itself, yes, according to Beis Shammai, you could change your mind in the middle of Yom Tov and shecht it. But the egg is noilad. Noilad is a different category of mukta. It's something that did not exist in its present state anyway before Yom Tov. And the Gemara is assuming right now that even Reb Shimon, for example, who says that regular mukta is mutter, but he would agree that noilad is also. So the egg is classic noilad. Why would Beis Shammai say it's okay? Tosfos, by the way, points out there are actually two different kinds of noilad. There is a noilad that existed, but it wasn't meant for this particular purpose beforehand. for example, one example of that, which actually Reb Shimon, who holds that mukta is mutter, also holds this kind of nolad and mutter. One example is that we learned about this at Shabbos, that if a keli broke on Shabbos, a wooden keli broke on Shabbos, not on Yom Kippur rather, that you're allowed to use the pieces for firewood. Because even though it's nolad, before Yom Kippur, you weren't intending to use it for firewood, but the actual plate itself existed. As opposed to our egg over here is a whole different category of nolad because it didn't exist in its current form before Yom Tov. So that the Gemara is assuming right now that even Reb Shimon would say that that's Asur. So then who does Beis Shammai?
Never existed.
Because it never existed. So like Mela the plate, according to Reb Shimon, yeah, you could say, you know, yeah, you didn't intend to use the plate for firewood before Yom Tov, but you knew there was a possibility, you know, if it would break, you're allowed to. Even Rabbi Huda agrees you're allowed to take the plate itself and use it for firewood. So yes, so it existed all along and it was usable for that purpose, whereas the egg did not exist right now. Yeah, you knew at some point it's going to be laid, but you didn't, you know. So my time out of Bishamai. So what's Bishamai's reason to say that the egg is mutter? Actually, we are talking about a chicken that's meant for laying eggs. And you're assuming that there's a difference between mukta and nolad? There's not. Or de islay mukta, islay nolad. Or de leslay mukta, leslay nolad. Whoever holds, whichever tanoim hold of mukta, also hold of nolad, that is osur. And whoever, that would be betilol, for example. Or de leslay mukta, leslay nolad. And whoever does not hold of mukta, also does not hold of nolad. Therefore, it comes out, betshama, except of shimon, or betilol, except of yehoda. We have the classic machlokes about this concept of mukta between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, where, for example, in that case of the plate that broke, that Rabbi Huda is saying that you can't use it for firewood, and Rabbi Shimon says you can. So Beis Shammai holds the Rabbi Shimon, and Beis Hillel holds the Rabbi Huda.
So the one who doesn't believe in mukta never believes in nolad.
Doesn't believe in nolad either. In other words, so therefore Beis Shammai is saying the egg is fine. Is that there's a difference that Reb Shimon would agree that nolad, at least nolad of this kind, is osir. Here we're saying that no.
That's interesting. We usually go, or today we go with a baseball, on the other side we also have Reb Shimon, and usually when the Shabbos we go cool Reb Shimon.
Actually, no. Usually when there's Machloikos Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, most of the time we go according to Reb Yehuda. In the case of Mukta, right. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to soon who the actual halacha is like, right. But, yeah. So the Gemara asked, Mi Omer Reb Nachman Hachi? Did Reb Nachman really say that? But we learn in the Mishnah and Shabbos, Beis Shammai says that you can take bones or peels off the table on Shabbos, even though you can't use them for anything. Rashi says that we're actually talking about bones and shells that aren't even edible by animals. So even though they're completely mukta, they should be in the same category as stones and whatnot. Nevertheless, according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to take them directly off the table. Tosfos themselves argues differently. Tosfos themselves says that no, we're talking about bones that you would be able to feed to animals, or peels that you would, or shells that you would be able to feed to animals. Because yeah, if they were completely inedible ones like walnut shells or whatever, then yeah, they would be completely mukta even according to Beis Shammai. So the Pnei Yeshua answers back that maybe Rashi would still say that we're talking about inedible ones, but you're still allowed to remove them from the table because it's called a graf shari. It's called like a disgusting thing that you're allowed to remove.
Yeah.
That's stronger than
mukta. Yeah. Graf shari literally means a chamber pot. A chamber pot. I mean, the contents of a chamber pot are mukta. Obviously, there's nothing you can do with them on Shabbos, but you're allowed to remove it So this is a similar concept. Whereas Basilo says, no, you have to take the whole board and shake it off, meaning you pick up the board. Which board do we mean? Do we mean the table itself? Do we mean a board, or the breadboard on the table, whatever it is exactly? You take that, you pick that up, which itself is not mukta, and you shake off the bones and the shells from it. V'omer Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said on that, that's how we have it printed in our Gemaras. But Rav Nachman says, no, that's the wrong version. Anu ein lanu ela Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda v'Silo k'Rabbi Shimon. What I learned from my Rebbeim is that actually the Mishnah needs to be flipped around. Beis Shammai are the ones who are Nachman, who say that you have to shake it off, and V'Silo is the ones who say you're allowed to take it off directly. This is the same Rav Nachman. So therefore, it comes out. But Rav Nachman Rav Nachman wants to say that Beis Hillel does not worry about mukta. Therefore, you're allowed to take off the bones and things. And Beis Shammai does worry about mukta. Therefore, you can't. That would mean that Beis Hillel is going like Rav Shimon, and Beis Shammai is going like Rav Yehuda. Exactly the opposite of what he said. Yeah. The answer is, Amalach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman can answer you like this. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, the Sotam Latana Kid of Shimon. When it comes to Shabbos, we have a Stam Mishnah, and we know the Halacha is usually like a Stam Mishnah, which goes according to Rav Shimon. It's not, and we learn in the last parak of Shabbos, Meshachkin is a Luyin Lipne Behemah. You're allowed to chop up pumpkins to feed to an animal, which there is not really an issue of Malacha, or Muksa rather, because the pumpkins themselves are edible by people. There it's more an issue, Rashi says, of Tircha Yaseira. Is it considered like you're going to too much work for the sake of an animal? Ve'esanevela Lipne Aklovim, and you're allowed to cut up a dead animal to feed to dogs. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about that the animal was still alive when Shabbos came in. It died in the middle of Shabbos. That would be an example of Muksa, because before Shabbos, you didn't have any intention to do anything with the animal. So Bapashtos then, anybody who holds a Muksa, for example, Rabbi Huda, would say that it's also. And in fact, he does say it's also in that Mishnah. Whereas anybody who holds that there's no problem with Muksa would say that not. And that's the Tanakama over there, which is Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, since the Stam Mishnah is written according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, Rabbi Nachman would prefer to say that Vesilah holds like Rabbi Shimon. And that's why in the case of the bones and the shells, he flips around the Mishnah. But when it comes to Yom Tov, in Or Masechta, the Sosam Lantana Ki Rabbi Huda, on the contrary, we have a Stam Mishnah in Or Masechta like Rabbi Huda, that there is a problem of Muktzah. The Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, in Mevakin Eitzim Min HaKoris, you're not allowed to chop up wood from beams, like beams that are meant for building, and that everybody agrees to because the beams are expensive. They're mukta, it's mukta machmas chasarad kit. Everybody agrees that you're not, unless you specifically intended to cut one of them up before Yom Tov, that you're not even going to. But here's the key one, v'loy min ha-kodesh nishbara b'Yom Tov. You're also not allowed to cut up, you're also not allowed to break up firewood, even from a beam that broke on Yom Tov. So that would be an example of muktzah again, because before Shabbos you didn't intend to use the beam on Yom Tov. All of a sudden, in the middle of Yom Tov, it broke. So now all of a sudden you have it's usable for firewood. And yet the Mishnah is saying, a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Huda, that you're not allowed to break it up for firewood. So then we see mukum lola vesilo to Rabbi Huda. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman would prefer to say then that vesilo, when it comes to Yom Tov, goes like Rabbi Huda,
as opposed to Shabbos.
So there's a difference, we're saying, between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Persis points out, by the way, that one thing, even Rav Shimon would agree that you at least had to have some reasonable expectation that the thing is going to happen on Yom Tov for you to be able to use it. So here, if a beam all of a sudden broke in the middle of Yom Tov, did you necessarily have any reasonable expectation? Tosfos says, actually, yes. A beam doesn't all of a sudden break from nothing. It had to have been, like, wobbly or weak or whatever before Yom Tov. So, yeah, you had reason to think that it might completely break on Yom Tov.
And therefore,
according to Rav Shimon, you'd be fine. Whereas, according to Rav Yehuda, since you didn't fade or say that I'm intending to use it, then no.
Very formal.
Yeah. Now, the Gemara asks, so basically what we're saying is Shabbos we're saying a Stam Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda, is like Rav Shimon, and Yom Tov like Rav Yehuda. So now the question is why? Mechti, let's consider, man sasmei lemasnitzin, who is it who set up the Stam Mishnah? Rebbe. When we say that Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos or composed them or whatever, one of the major things of it was that Rebbe had to take all the different versions of Mishnayos that were floating around in his times. These are the famous Tafreish Sidre Mishnah, the 600 Sdorim of the Mishnah that existed in his time, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga. He had to sift through all of those, and he had to determine, when we have, for example, that in this place Rabbi Huda says this, and Rabbi Shimon says that, and then some other Tana says this, when do we write it as a Stam Mishnah to imply that this is the majority opinion and we should all hold by it?
Until proven otherwise.
Yeah. That was Rabbi who did that. That was his editorial work on the Mishnayos. Which is why, you know, we have a lot of times the Gemara will have a Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and then the Gemara will point out that actually there's a machlokas about it in a Braisa. Rebbe himself didn't consider it important to write the machlokas because he held the halacha is like one of the opinions, but in the Braisa they clarified it. So Mishnah Shabbos the Sosam Lan Kirav Shimon, Mishnah Yom Tov the Sosam Lan Kirav Yehuda. So what's the difference? Why did Rebbe himself choose to be inconsistent like that, to paskin when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos like Rav Shimon, and when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov to paskin like Rav Yehuda that Muktzah is also? Amri, so they answered like this: Shabbos the Chamira, Shabbos is more stringent. We know no Malacha is Muktzah on Shabbos. Therefore, v'loy also was al zodeba, and therefore people are not going to be mezalzel, people are not going to treat Shabbos carelessly. Therefore, Sasam Lan Kreb Shimon to Mekel. So therefore, Rebbe could make Stam Mishnah according to Reb Shimon, who is Mekel, because there's no problem with the, we're going to say then there's less of a problem with people using something that's considered this type of muktzah, this generic muktzah where you didn't have it in mind before Shabbos. You could use it on Shabbos because there's less of a possibility that that's going to lead you to doing malachas, because everybody knows how strict Shabbos is, and not only everybody knows how strict, you're not doing any other malacha.
Could argue just the opposite, saying Shabbos is much more serious than Yom Tov. And you should argue stringently against
That's not what we're saying. We're saying the other way around. Yeah.
Right.
Yom Tov to kill, whereas Yom Tov is more lenient because there's many malachas you can do on Yom Tov. The Asil is al-Zuli Bay, so therefore people may treat it carelessly. Once they're allowed, people are figuring, I'm allowed to cook, I'm allowed to bake, I'm allowed to carry, etc. So therefore, yeah, so, you know, I'm even allowed to, and so therefore I can do any malacha. Therefore, we make one thing about Yom Tov more strict. So therefore we make a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Hoda, who is Machmer and Muktzah. We make this one din in which Shabbos is, in which Yom Tov is stricter than Shabbos, in order to remind people don't treat Yom Tov carelessly. As far as the detailed dinim about that, by the way, there's a lot of discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Noita Kalim, and the Alter Rebbe discusses it at some length at the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov. Whether in the end, do we accept this principle that in fact there is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in Hilchos Muktzah or not? Rav Nachman is saying this, but is the halacha like Rav Nachman?
According to the Alter Rebbe, actually everything is the same, Shabbos, Machmir, Yom Tov, except in
name of Achila. No, you don't need the Alter Rebbe for that. You have a Mishnah in Megillah that says that Amin Shabbos the Yom Tov El Arichol Nefesh Bolad. We'll have it later in Armas Echol too. Fine, but we're talking about when we say there's no difference in Shabbos and Yom Tov, we mean in things Daraisa. We're talking about here Muktzah, which is the whole concept of Muktzah is the Rabbanan. So there's different opinions among the Rishonim whether indeed the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that we do hold of muktzah on Yom Tov, the kind of muktzah that we're talking about over here, like Rabbi Hoda, or not. Do we say maybe we don't accept Rav Nachman's opinion? The Gemara is going to continue discussing this issue of what kind of chicken are we talking about. Rav Nachman is not the final word over here, so maybe not. Maybe we do say after all that the dinim of muktzah are the same on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then you have the question also again. Do we equate, before the Gemara was saying that we thought to say that Muktzah and Noilud are the same kind of thing, if you say that Muktzah is Mutter, so is Noilud, and if Muktzah is not, then neither is Noilud, but is that necessarily true? Can you distinguish between them? So the Alter Rebbe explains, again, based on the big Shulchan Aruch, on the Ramah, that nowadays people are Mako on regular kind of Muktzah, but they are Machmer on Yom Tov as far as Noilud. So we do still have the one thing that Yom Tov is more stringent than Shabbos as far as the dinim of Muktzah collectively is the din of Noilud specifically, but not the din of generic Muktzah.
So they're very very reasons mentioned. I think
that right, because again, you want to make Yom Tov more stringent than Shabbos in one way in order that people realize that Yom Tov is something serious. Yeah. That's with Noilud, yeah. So the Gemara says, "Mamayo Kimta." So, okay, how have we? So what are we saying so far? How did we explain that the Mishnah is talking about the case of the egg? Betana Golas Ha'emedes Gadol Beitzim. You're saying that it was again that it was talking about a chicken that's meant for laying eggs, or Mishum Mukta, and that the whole reason why you can't eat the egg is because of Mukta, because we said otherwise we didn't seem to have a way to understand the Mishnah. If that's the case, Adam Miflegi Bebeisa, instead of arguing about the egg, Liflegi Betana Golas, let him argue about the chicken itself. The chicken itself. If we're saying in the end that according to Rav Nachman again we're saying there is no difference between muktzah and noilud. If you say that noilud is mutter, so is muktzah, and if you say noilud is also so is muktzah, so then in that case it's not just the egg they're arguing about, which is the case of noilud. They're arguing about the chicken itself. Chicken itself is muktzah because you intended before Yom Tov you're going to keep it around for laying eggs. Middle of Yom Tov you change your mind, you decide to shecht it. Why don't we say the same thing, that the Shammai is saying that you're allowed to shech the chicken and eat it, and Basila says not? The answer is, right, but the Mishnah is telling us specifically the case of the egg in order to tell us how far the Shammai is going in their heter, that they're saying even Noilud is mutter. Even though we were saying before, there's a reason we had a Havamin at the beginning to think that even somebody, even if we make on Muktzah, we're going to be machmir on Nolad. And like I say, that is the practical halacha nowadays. So to say that Nolad is mutter is something more, is something stronger than just saying that Muktzah is mutter. So therefore, the Mishnah would prefer to mention the case of the egg to show us how far Beis Shammai is going. That even the egg is mutter. How much more so the chicken? Anyway, says so. Let it say the chicken, just the opposite, in order to tell us how far Beis Hillel is going and being machmir. Yeah. The chitema, and you might answer back, the famous expression, we've had it a few times already in the Gemara, koyach dehatera adif, the koyach of making something mutter is stronger. Why? If we have a choice between presenting two possible cases, one of which highlights how the one who's Makel, how far he's going in being Makel, and the other one, the one who's Machmir, how far he's going in being Machmir, we prefer to illustrate the one who's Makel, to show how far he goes in being Makel. Why, Rashi says, because how can you be Makel on these things? Only if you have a Kabbalah from your Rebbe that this thing is Mutter. So Beis Shammai had to have a Kabbalah from their teachers, going back all the way, that even Nolad is Mutter on Yom Tov. Because the Hillel, if they're saying Nolad is also and Muktzah is also, not necessarily did they learn it from their teachers. Maybe just, you know, they're not sure, so they're to be on the safe side. They're, you know.
Like, that doesn't, right, when you're, like, Mutter, that's showing you the boundaries, you know, that's showing you where you can go, but Machmir is just saying, yeah, this is something you should just be careful.
Exactly, just to be careful, just to be on the safe side, right. So fine, you want to say that that's why we're mentioning the chicken, the egg is because to show how far Beis Shammai is going and being Makel. But Niflug with Tavayu. So why doesn't the Mishnah just mention that they're arguing about both of them? Let the Mishnah say, Tanagolos HaEmedes HaGadol Beitzim, a chicken that's meant for laying eggs, he will be Tzatza, it and its egg, Beis Shammai Mitzachol, Beis Shammai Mitzachol, Beis Shammai say you can eat him, and Beis Shammai say you can't. Which Tosfos points out, I mean, we have this expression, Kirchel der Teira Adif, we've had it a few times already, and the Gemara never asked such a question before, present both possibilities. The reason is, Tosfos says, because in all the other cases where we brought this expression, you would have had to have a lot more words added to the Mishnah or the Braisa in order to illustrate both cases. Here, all you have to do is add a couple of words. In fact, the Mishnah, the Gemara is spelling out what we would understand it to mean, that it's talking about Tanug, you know, all the Mishnah really would have to say is something like, he obeys Sasa, it, meaning the chicken, and its egg. There's only one more word. And that way it would show both how far Beis Shammai is being Makel and how far Beis Hillel is being Machmir.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't... It would show how far Beis Shammai is being Makel and how far Beis Hillel is being Machmer.
That was what?
By saying the chicken and its egg.
That was show that how far they're going in Machmer.
And how far they're going in being Makel, yeah.
Okay.
So it would show both. So therefore, you can't say, so based on that then, you can't say that that's what the Mishnah means. You can't say that it's talking about a chicken that was meant for laying eggs. Ela Omer Rabba. So no, Rabba says, La'olam b'tanagol ha'medes ha'achila. We are talking about a chicken that's meant for eating, which we started out the question, if that's the case, then what's Basil's problem with eating the egg? The problem is, over Yom Tov Shchalias Achra Shabbos Askinen, we are talking about a Yom Tov that comes out beginning Matzah Shabbos. Umishum Hachana. And then the problem over here is there was no Hachana. This concept that we're talking about over here is which we're going to develop over these next couple of lines. It's a famous expression called Hachana de Rabba. Rabba's din about Hachana. Hachana means preparing, and it means that as the Gemara is going to explain that everything that's going to be eaten on Yom Tov has to have been prepared before Shabbos. It can't be prepared on Shabbos, and vice versa. You can't prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov, or on Yom Tov for Shabbos, or from one day of Yom Tov to the other, although Tosfos says there's no reason to mention that over here, because according to Rabba, this whole thing is Deraisa, and Deraisa, there's no such thing as a two-day Yom Tov.
And now we're focusing on the discussion of only the case...
Only the case of
Yom Tov comes in.
So wait. So we'll talk about soon what happens in regular Yom Tov, but first, let's develop this idea of Achana Deraba. And we shum Achana, so because of this idea of Achana, because Rabba holds like this, Kol beitza de misyalda ha'idna, any egg that's laid on a certain day, me'esmo gamrala, it was actually completed, it actually finished developing inside the hen the day before. Which means, in other words, so if it was laid on Sunday, on Yom Tov, then it was finished on Shabbos. And Rabba Lutaimei, and Rabba goes according to his own Shitta. The Amar Rabba, my dichtiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk and in connection with the Mon, it says on the sixth day, on Friday, they should prepare what they're bringing to, for Shabbos, which means, you can prepare on a weekday for Shabbos, or you can prepare on a weekday for Yom Tov. The reason why we assume that the Pasuk is talking about a weekday is because a regular Friday, most Fridays throughout the year are weekdays. So the Torah is making a point of mentioning that you have to prepare the food on Friday. But the ain Yom Tov meichin the Shabbos, the ain Shabbos meichin the Yom Tov. But you cannot prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, and you cannot prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov. So over here, it's not you preparing. It's not you preparing. I mean, it's developing inside the hand. It's a natural process. It's bidei shemayim. But still, it's considered a type of hachana, and it has to have been done on a weekday.
But he wasn't complete on a weekday.
No. Therefore, that's what we're saying. You can't eat it on Yom Tov. You have to wait till after Yom Tov to eat it. Because yes, you can prepare. You can have. So Rashi points out. I mean, so the obvious question is: so how is it? For example, I mean, so what if Yom Tov? What if there was no Yom Tov on Sunday? What if Sunday was a weekday? So you're saying any egg that's laid on Sunday, you're not allowed to eat? Rashi says no. The fact that the Torah is mentioning this in connection with Shabbos means specifically Shabbos and Yom Tov meals need hachana, need to have this preparation in advance. Weekday meals are not considered significant enough that there's any din of hachana that applies to them. So yes, if you cooked on Shabbos, that's a different thing. There's dinim about that, when you're allowed to eat it, when you're not. B'shogeg, b'mezid, or whatever. Here we're not talking about you didn't do anything. The whole thing is done b'day shemayim. The fact that it was completed, the fact that it was prepared on Shabbos and laid on Sunday, no problem. Because Sunday is not considered important enough that the hachana of Shabbos has any significance, halacha. Whereas if Sunday is Yom Tov, then yes, it has significance, because Yom Tov itself needs hachana.
But Rabba also believes that... it goes one day before. In other words,
yeah.
It's before. He also believes that.
That's what we're saying. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If it wasn't, if the egg would complete developing on Sunday and then be laid later that same day on Yom Tov, no problem. You're allowed to cook in the morning on Yom Tov to eat in the afternoon. By the same token, you're allowed to have an egg finished off on in the morning of Yom Tov to eat in the afternoon. The problem is here that's the day before, which is Shabbos. So Rashi, what kind of hachana are we talking about over here, actually, Rashi says? We're talking about the hachana in the sense that you actually have to designate verbally from before Yom Tov or before Shabbos that this is what I'm going to be eating, which is going to be. We're going to be talking about throughout the perek, we're going to have many, many machlokas in on this very subject of do you have to verbally designate something before Shabbos, before Yom Tov, in order to be able to eat it on Yom Tov, or can you just decide on the spot that you want to eat it? Tosfos argues on that. Also, Rashi points out, you know, there's one other thing that you have to ask about that. Then, in that case, if we're saying minat Torah, you're not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos when Yom Tov is on Friday, then how do we have an Erev Shav Shilin? An Erev Shav Shilin is a din d'rabbanan. The d'rabbanan can't be matter something that's also minat Torah. So Rashi says because. Rabba himself holds of a concept. Actually, Tosfos discusses this really. Rabba himself holds of a concept called hoyil. Hoyil means we had this in Pesachim briefly. We're going to have it much more in this Masechta. When you have something that could have been used on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to have it. Then you're allowed to save it for Shabbos. So in this case, when you make an Erev Tavshilin before Yom Tov, and you, which therefore, you know, you've started symbolically your Shabbos preparations before Yom Tov, then on Yom Tov, you're cooking all your food. Theoretically, you could eat all that food on Yom Tov. You don't. You're planning to leave some of it for Shabbos. But you could, it would be possible to eat it all on Yom Tov. And therefore, that's reason enough to be master. That allows Minat Torah. So Minat Torah, you wouldn't even need an Erev Tavshilin. Then Minat Torah, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov as much as you could possibly eat that day, and then whatever you have left is left for Shabbos. Midrabbanan, they said that you have to make that hechter by making an Erev Tavshilin ahead of time. So Rashi doesn't have a problem with that because we're talking about Hasmana B'peh. And Tosfos talks about that we're talking about actually cooking and baking from one day to the next. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asks Rabba, Ela me'ata Yom Tov ba'amud tishri. Well, based on that then, so you're saying then that the egg which we're talking about in our Mishnah is where it was laid on a Yom Tov which comes after Shabbos, but the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah said generically, Beis Shanol the Yom Tov. So any Yom Tov, wherever it is in the week, whether it's nowhere near Shabbos. So shouldn't a Yom Tov that So shouldn't a Yom Tov any other time during the week, shouldn't the egg that's laid on it be mutter? And the answer is no. Zera Mishim Yom Tov Achar Shabbos. No, because we're making a Zera because you might confuse it with a case of a Yom Tov, which is the day after Shabbos, which then we just said that it would be Aser. And Shabbos Balma Tishri, and Abai asks further, what about an egg that's laid on a regular Shabbos should be mutter? And again, the answer is Zera Mishim Shabbos Achar Yom Tov. You have the other way around. You might confuse it with a Shabbos, but Yom Tov was Friday, and the egg is laid on Shabbos. Same idea. The egg finishes developing on Friday. Yom Tov is being meichin for Shabbos in a way that's not covered by the Erev Tavshilin, because the Erev Tavshilin only covers your preparation, not preparation of Bidei Shemayim. And therefore, because of that, we're going on all Shabbos through the year so you don't get them mixed up.
The Erev Tavshilin is still midrabanan.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. Minat Torah, you would be allowed. So that's the thing.
Minat Torah, you would be allowed.
No.
So what we're saying is like this. So this is how Torah was explaining it. Minat Torah. So first of all, according to Rashi, it's not a problem. According to Rashi, what you need before Yom Tov or before Shabbos is hasmana b'peh. You need to verbally say that I'm going to be using this food for Shabbos or for Yom Tov. So then, fine, you can cook it on Yom Tov for Shabbos. There's no issue. Minat Torah. Tosfos is saying that we are talking about cooking and baking. So therefore, you need Rabbahim. So we have like this. This concept, again, we're talking only according to Rabbah. That's why this concept is called the Chon of the Rabbah. The other Amirayim don't agree with it. But Rabbah himself, who does hold of this, that Hachana is required, Midaraisa, he also holds that equally well. Midaraisa, we have this concept of Hoyil, that since the food could have been eaten on Yom Tov, then you're already allowed to save it for Shabbos. So Minat Torah, that's all you would need. Minat Torah, according to Rabbah, that's all you need. Because of Hoyil, you're allowed to cook whatever you want on Yom Tov and save it for Shabbos, provided, you know, there is actually a din that comes up in this connection. We do hold, like Rabbah in this regard, that Achana is that Deraisa, and we also hold of this concept of Hoyil. But because of that, it does have to be that you make your Yom Tov preparations early enough in the day that there's still time to eat it. If you're still... No, not going to be before Chatzos, but you can't be cooking for Shabbos 5 minutes before Lichtenstein, because then there's no way that it's going to be for Yom Tov, and then Hoyol doesn't work. So you might ask some Migros, Rina, do we really make such a gzera that you're telling me that every Yom Tov throughout the year and every Shabbos throughout the year we're also the eggs that are laid on them, because you might confuse it with a case where Yom Tov and Shabbos come together? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a brisa, Hashoychet Hasatagolos Matzav Beitim Gemurah. So first, and shech the chicken and finds inside it eggs that are completed. Mutal Oichlan Yom Tov. You're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov.
If he finds it on
shech, he shechted on Yom Tov.
On Yom Tov.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I should have mentioned, you know, when we were talking about a minute ago, when we asked Shabbos Ba'alma Tishri that we should be allowed to eat the egg on a regular Shabbos during the year, I mean, and obviously then you wouldn't be able to cook it. It's Shabbos. You would have to eat it raw. But that's the question. Would you be allowed to? Why aren't you allowed to? And the answer is because you might confuse it with a Shabbos that comes after Yom Tov. Anyway, so we're saying if you shech the chicken, and you find completed eggs in it, so eggs that were almost ready to be laid, Mutaris for Achon Yom Tov. You're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. The Im Issa, now, based on what you're saying, Ligza Mishum Hanach to Misyaldin, Riyamehen. Why don't you make a Zera that you might confuse those with eggs that were going to be laid that day? What happened? You know, you shechted the chicken in the morning. If you had left it till the afternoon, it would have already laid the egg. The egg would be Osir, we're saying, according to Basilo. Because you shechted it now in the morning and the egg didn't have a chance to be laid yet, therefore it's mutter to eat. Why don't we make it? You're telling me the same way as we're making a gzera about every Shabbos and Yom Tov during the year. Why don't we similarly make a gzera that we're not going to allow you to eat this egg because you might confuse it with one that was actually laid that day. And after all, you have the same consideration. If it's almost ready to be laid today, then it was completed yesterday. It was mukhon as of yesterday, which was Shabbos,
regardless of the time that you shechted it before Yom Tov.
No, you shechted it on Yom Tov, we're talking about.
On Yom Tov.
If you shechted it before Yom Tov, obviously there's no problem. We're talking about Yom Tov is on Sunday. You shechted it. You shechted the chicken. You found an egg in it, which would have been laid later that day.
Right.
And we're saying you're allowed to eat it. Now, why? It was mukhan on Shabbos. It would have been laid later that day. So why don't...
Even when you find it in the shechted animal, you consider that it was mukhan on Shabbos?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
as he wasn't given birth yet.
But it's about to be. Yeah.
That's
not
the final din. That's just one of the.
What's not the final din? That you're allowed to eat the egg?
No, it wouldn't be permitted.
No, if it's still inside the chicken, there's no question. It's permitted.
Yeah, that's right.
Amalei, he answers him, because to find fully developed eggs inside the chicken is an unusual thing. Well, an egg takes 21 days to develop. So usually when you check the chicken, either you're not going to find any eggs in there, or you'll find they'll be in various stages of development, that it should be right before it would have been laid later that day.
That's
28 days, so yeah, okay, but you'd have to time it. You'd have to be timing it, you know, so.
Everything is like eggs, right?
Not necessarily, but yeah. Generally, yeah, most days, yeah.
What
would
it be wanted to be ready?
Yeah, okay. Well, Milsa, the Lesh Chichel, goes to Rabbanan did not make a zera about an unusual case like this. And therefore you are allowed to eat it. We're not talking about actually the case when with this case that Abaye is asking Rabba is not talking about a case where Yom Tov comes after Shabbos. Yes, in that case, maybe since again because of Achana de Rabba, we might well say that the egg in that case is Osir, because after all it was Mochan on Shabbos and you're shechting the chicken today. You have the same problem. But right, what we're talking about is a regular Yom Tov that does not come right after Shabbos. We just said that a regular egg that was laid on Yom Tov is Osir. Why aren't we asking by the same token an egg that's still inside the chicken? For the same reason, because you might confuse it with one that was actually laid. And the answer is because it's a Milsa D'lo Shechicha. Which Rashi and Tosis both discuss, Rashi says, How does Abaye even think that we should make a Gzeira on such a thing? That would be a Gzeira L'Gzeira. That would be a one Gzeira to safeguard another one. You shouldn't eat this egg which was not laid yet, because you might be confused it with one which was already laid, and that one which is already laid itself is also because of a Gzeira, because Achana de Rabba in a case for Yom Tov is after Shabbos. So Rashi says, because, not necessarily, we could still be talking about a case where you found this egg in a chicken. Yeah, it was shefted on a Sunday Yom Tov. So yes, then it's not a Gzeira L'Gzeira. The Hachana de Rabba issue doesn't exist, because the fact is it still is inside the chicken. So either not necessarily it was completed on Shabbos. Actually, some of the Foshim talk about that. But if you still found it inside the chicken, not necessarily would it have been laid that day. Maybe it would have been laid the next day. Yeah, so that's one possibility. There's a few other possibilities I discussed. Be that as it may, Hachana de Rabba doesn't apply. The only reason, because not necessarily was it finished on Shabbos. All that we have is that you should after it because of the regular. If the egg was actually laid, then you would say Hachana de Rabba and it would be Osir. So therefore, we're saying the one that the Chachamim did not extend that Zera to the one that wasn't laid yet. Because where the chicken was shechted on Yom Tov and you found the egg inside it, because it would be exedal exedal, because that's not what we're saying over here. Because the Chachamim did not make exedal on such a thing, even though the Chachamim made exedal on a regular egg that's laid on Sunday, but they did not make exedal on an egg that was found inside the chicken on Sunday. Tosfos actually discusses this issue about today and yesterday. That since it wasn't yet laid, then we can't consider that it was completed yesterday. We consider effectively that it was yet.
That was the question.
Right. So far we have two explanations then of what the Mishnah is talking about. Why we have this machlokes of Shammai and Silo. One was Reb Nachman's that it's an issue of Noilud. And one is Rabba's that it's an issue of Achana, that the egg was not prepared before, that the egg was prepared on Shabbos and laid on Yom Tov, and then we asked it on every Yom Tov as a Gzeira. And now we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk about more possible reasons why the egg should be also according to Bais Hillel.
Other reasons.
Mm-hmm.